I'm reading this morning from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. You can follow on the screen, or if you've brought your Bible with you, you can read it from the text that you have there. I've called this Lifestyles in Collision, and I'll explain it in a few moments as to why or how this develops in our lives and what the outcome of it is. So would you bow your heart with me? Lord, I pray as we read this, your word, that it will become real to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. We just say we're opening our hearts to you. If there's something you want us to know, something you want us to respond, Lord, then we just say, carry on, Holy Spirit, work a work in our hearts this morning. We thank you. This can be a transformational moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting that which lies behind and straining forward to that which lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything else think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Wow, what a passage. What a great amount of content is in this. And I hope I can lay this out for you in a way that you'll go out of here saying, I didn't see that quite that way before. One thing I can say is that as Christians, we have a unique role to play. I don't know when I first realized that there was a conflict, but I do. I certainly know it now in my own life. Here's the paradox, that we were intended to be earth people by our first birth. Right? If I got figured that out, earth people by our first birth, and heaven people, which we are by our new birth. And therein lies the problem. Earth people by our first birth, and heavenly people by our second birth. For years when Val and I were living on the prairies, we would go through my hometown. It's not a long trip through. You can see right through, in fact. If you're sitting on one side, you can see the other side of the town. It's not a big place. But I'd say, I'm going to show you where I was born twice. And she'd roll her eyes and she'd say, oh, here we go again. And I would drive by the hospital. In my hometown, I drive by the hospital. I said, there, I breathed my first breath of life in that little town, right there at that building, at that very building. That's where it happened. And then we'd turn around the corner and drive about a block and a half further, or two blocks further. And I said, and here is when I breathed my second breath, only the new birth. It was here that I passed from death unto life, that I went to that meeting not knowing the Lord Jesus, and coming home knowing the Lord Jesus and knowing that I had accepted him into my heart and that now he was living inside of me. And so there's the two places where I experienced birth. But that creates a problem. That, as one, because we're supposed to represent the other world, it means that we are people of two realms living in one of these realms. And there's a conflict to that. Our role, and this is the conflict, our role is to tell the realm where we live what the other realm is like. That's our job. I'll say that again. Our role is to tell the realm where we live what the other realm is like. And Paul nails it down in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. We are citizens of heaven. But we live on earth. And we live on earth to bring a touch of heaven wherever we go. Always telling people what this other world is like. And so this has its problems because the earth operates in a totally different manner than heaven. We have citizenship in both worlds, but it operates completely different. Paul goes on to say that this earthly realm is governed by sensual appetites. In other words, if it feels good, do it. By naturalism. Really what we could say is our world is full of TLO people. You know what that stands for? This life only. And the large majority of our world, that's exactly how their life is governed. This life only. I just live for what I can get out of it. Verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, follow my example. Imitate my example. I have a lifestyle as a citizen in heaven. And imagine being able to say, I'm going to live my lifestyle in such a way that you will know how to live your lifestyle. Wow. This isn't Jesus, it's Paul saying it. And I thought, that's how it is. I want it to be in my life. I want my neighbors to know that I have certainly have citizenship here. I hope I'm not so out of this world. But that I give them a little taste, a little touch of that other world. That when they touch me, they touch a bit of heaven. When they touch you, they touch a bit of heaven. That's would be the greatest compliment we could ever have. We bring heaven when we walk into a place. For different reasons we do that. I remember, I think I told this story several times, but back in the 70s, Keith Miller and Bruce Larson wrote a book called Living the Adventure, followed up by another one called The Edge of Adventure. And I really enjoyed that back many, many years ago. One thing I can't remember too much about except for one thing of a story that he told. And I'll tell it again here to you. He had bought a motorcycle, so he get on the freeway and he'd be on his motorcycle going to work. He was a businessman going to work. And what he would do, just as he got closer to the city, he'd veer off the freeway and take a shortcut through a swampy area. It's kind of like a bike trail. And then he'd finally end up at work. Well, this one particular morning, he's going along on his motorcycle off the road and following the pathway to work. And he spots a turtle crossing the swamp, crossing right in front of him, a turtle. And he grinds to a halt and he says, whoa, look out, fella here. And he was just going to put him aside so he didn't run over him. When he said, you have possibility. So he puts the turtle in his pocket, gets back on his motorcycle and rides to his office, changes into his work clothes and carries on. But through that day, it was an amazing experience for this turtle. He experienced elevators. He experienced arborite. He experienced lipstick. And all the girls in their office, they just thought it was such the cutest thing. They were kissing it and touching it and stroking it. And he experienced perfume. He experienced carpet. He experienced air conditioning. And it was just an amazing day. And music, it was somebody's birthday in the office that day. And so they got out the guitar. Everybody's singing and playing. And the turtle is sitting there listening to music. He never heard music before. And so at the end of that day, everyone, there was crumbs dropped. He tasted cake. It was a day to remember. And so at the end of that day, Keith Miller picks the turtle up. He says, well, little fella, you've had quite a day. I'm going to take you back home. And it's just, so he took exactly the same route, took the freeway, off the freeway, through the swamp, and stopped right there, exactly where he had picked the turtle up and put him right where his feet were even, and got back in his motorcycle and left. And he says this, from that point on, life could never be the same because people would say, oh, there's old crazy Charlie. There's old crazy Charlie talking about air conditioning and carpet and lettuce and perfume and aftershave and exhaust and inside of somebody's coat. I mean, they're barely going to believe. He's trying to explain to the other turtles of what he has experienced of this other realm. And that's our dilemma. That's exactly our dilemma. And many times people do say, there's crazy old Brian talking about the Lord again, right? Bringing up churchy, talking about spiritual things. Where does he get? So he tries to tell what it would be like to know the Lord. What a challenge we have. What a great challenge. How to transmit heaven's lifestyle to earth. So we live in such a way that honors the Lord and brings people to himself. So let's look at some of Paul's lifestyle, because this is really what it was about. Lifestyle, if you don't already know this, lifestyle is a reflection of philosophy. Okay, so the Christian lifestyle is firmly linked to a Christian philosophy or a Christian outlook. In other words, we look at life a certain way. And the way we look at life determines how we live, determines our behaviors and our actions. So Paul gives us four aspects of his outlook, and it really helps us to understand his behavior. In other words, why do you do what you do? How come you act the way you act? That's what Paul is answering. And so he has, first of all, the backward look. And he says, Christ Jesus took a hold of me. It didn't, that was back. That had already happened. He says, Christ Jesus took a hold of me. He said, I was apprehended. I was arrested by Jesus. This is what he thought Christ had done to him, that he had arrested. He said, I'm seeking to lay hold on Christ to see why in the world he laid hold of me. He said, I couldn't deny that he laid hold of me. So I'm spending my time trying to understand the why of it. I know he laid a hold of me. Now I want to know why. Christ had stopped him dead in his tracks. He was arrested by Jesus Christ. And Paul had received salvation, no doubt about it. Christ gave him salvation, but Christ stopped him in order to save him. That's what happens to all of us through the new birth. Paul, like no one else, had an immense understanding of salvation. We know that from reading the New Testament. He had an unbelievable grasp of the understanding of salvation. We wouldn't know anything about salvation probably if it wasn't for Paul. So Christ stopped him in order to save him. Stopped him, saved him, and then started him all over again in a totally new direction, to be what he had never been before and to do what he had never done before. And Paul says, I've got a backward look. I look back to the day that I was riding a horse and a bright light came and a voice from heaven said, I am Jesus. He said, from that point on, that's my reference point. It has to do with Jesus. I have not recovered from it, Paul said. I seek to lay hold of the reason why he laid hold of me, so that I would, what I could become, what I never could before, what I've never done before, I now do. So Paul often looked back to the day of his arrest. I remember there was a fellow in our church that broke up with a person, an individual, and when they broke up, issue was lifestyle. And lifestyle affects all of us. I know that, you know that. There are things that I don't do because it doesn't fit my Christian lifestyle. Not rules and regulations, my lifestyle. There are things that I do, why? Because that's part of my lifestyle. And how is it for you? Can you say that I have a unique Christian lifestyle? Because Paul was able to do that. And yet there was another thing. He said, although Christ laid a hold of me, He said there's another thing, forgetting, verse 13, forgetting forgetting that which is past. The past is past, and the present is here, and this is where Paul chose to live, really understanding the sacrament of the present moment. In other words, he wasn't going back to all that time where he only talked about was the day he got saved, the day he got saved, the day he got saved. Oh, no, he had moved on from that. That was part of it, but it was more to it. In other words, he didn't just dwell on the past, and he wasn't waiting for his ducks to all lined up in the future. He lived in the moment. Failures or victories, it didn't matter. He says, that's coming, that's gone. Forget the good old days, that they've gone. And he says, I'm sure he would say, forgive yourself. God's already forgiven you. All of this has already happened. It's the backward look. Christ got a hold of my life, and I've never been the same. That's what he's saying to us. But there was more. There wasn't just the backward look. There was the upward look. And I wrote a little note here that Christians have been accused of being so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use. I would challenge that. I would disagree with that. I think that most of us are so earthly minded that we're of no heavenly use. No heavenly use whatsoever. And so if we're going to fulfill our unique role on earth, it's vital that we be in tune with heaven so that we can interpret heaven to earth people. See, we are the twice born people. It's unique, isn't it? Twice born people. That's who we are. And we live and we function and we rub shoulders with once born people. They would say that too. If I say, are you born again? No, I'm not born again. What's all that about born again? Talk that, bring that up. Right? They would be marked. But we know. The first question we ask is she born again? Is he born again? Do they, you know, have they, in other words, have they been twice born? Because we know they've been once born, but not twice born. So that is, again, this dilemma that we have trying to explain to people what it means to be citizens of heaven. It's a great privilege. It's a wonderful, wonderful privilege, and to be able to have a Christian lifestyle. So the backward look followed by the upward look. So that we are of some heavenly use. There's a heavenly goal, he says, first of all, verse 14. It's a heavenly goal, a prize, something to attend to fix our attention on. Verse 14, Paul's goal was to present everything to him who sits on the throne. There was a heavenly prize. And he says, I'm striving. He said, one thing about my lifestyle, he said, I'm striving to reach the goal, to reach the prize. And to present everything to the Lord. A heavenly prize. He said it motivated to get up in the morning. Why? I'm running the race. I'm straining. I'm pushing in. I'm seeking to go ahead. Not just looking behind. I'm looking up to what is ahead. There was purposefulness. And there was dedication. I'm sure he was thinking of the Olympic Games and of the Roman Games. And he said, I run this race. I got one thing in my goal. I said, I want to present myself to Jesus Christ. So there was and there's the heavenly call, the upward call of God, he called it. And we believe that we are called from the place of heaven to be heaven's representatives here on earth. God called us heavenward, and this does something for you. There's a call from heaven on my life. There's a call from heaven on your life. And he says, I'm waiting on that. Every day of my life, I'm waiting on that. This call that God would use me for his honor and for his glory. And your call, by the way, will never be rescinded. There's a call on Paul's life, there's a call on your life and on my life. And so he's a heavenly Lord as well. Verse 20, we look for a Savior to come. In a world of unrest, of decadence, of obscenity, and of injustice and cruelty and violence, that's our world. The more you watch the news, the more we're conscious of that. And James says, and I hadn't read James for a while, and I was in preparation of this. James said in chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, the coming of the Lord draws near. Paul would have been conscious of that. That the coming of the Lord, he's a heavenly Lord, and he's coming back. He's coming back to this world. And so, and to top it all out, there's a heavenly ultimate. He says, verse 21, he will change our vile bodies and give us a resurrected body. plus glory unspeakable. Unspeakable. See, what you believe about the sweet by and by really has an effect on your everyday living here below. See, how I view that there is a Lord who watches what I do. And someday, I will stand before him and have to give an account of what I do. And so I'm pressing in, not in order to be saved, but because I am saved. I'm pressing in because I want to be all that God wants me to be. I want my lifestyle to honor and glorify the Lord, and as I know you do too, knowing that the coming of the Lord draws near. There is a heavenly Lord, and he's coming back. That motivated Paul. You often find that Paul says, wait till the Lord returns. Wait till the Lord returns. The Lord is coming soon. He said, and that became a source of, they'd even used for their counseling, it seemed like, that was the answer to many of the problems. He said, it's not going to be solved right now, but it will when the Lord comes. When the Lord comes. So we ask ourselves the question, are we living in a way that a lifestyle that we are ready for this heavenly Lord, this heavenly ultimate, he's coming. Are we living like it, and is our lives glorifying the Lord because of that? It will keep us in line. Paul had a backward look and an upward look, and he needed both, and so do we. And so, because it keeps us in line for God's will for your life. And this is the whole thing. I want to live a life, as you want to live a life, that really honors God, that people are drawn to it, and we become somewhat seductive, somewhat appealing. They said, you know, they're a little kooky. They're on that Jesus thing. They're always talking about being born again. They're a little, it's unfortunate they're that way, but they are. But they're the real thing. That's the greatest compliment you can be given. When someone says, I don't know if I buy into your lifestyle, but you're the real thing. I can tell that you're the real thing. That there's something appealing about how you live and the way you live your life. There's an adventure to it. There's an excitement to it. There's a joy to it. There's a happiness to it. And that makes a difference, as it did for Paul and it does in our lives. And it keeps us in line, knowing that everything that we do, we may be doing this, but we know the Lord is coming. We're raising our children. We're running our businesses. We're getting our business done. That's what we're doing that. But there's something motivating us greater. We know that it's all because of the Lord. So there's an inward look. Verse 12, he says, we haven't arrived. The Christian life is growth. And there's still much that needs to be done. In my own life, I can say that too. You know, I can't believe how long I've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for a long time. And here's the good news. I thought at one point that it would kind of reach a pinnacle. Say, well, that's it. You know, that's it. You did what you're supposed to do. You're a Christian. You're even a pastor. So therefore, I guess it's, but it isn't that way. Matter of fact, I find it seems to get, as they used to say, sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Because I'm still learning things. I'm getting revelations from the Lord that I just didn't see before in Scripture and other places. I said, wow, I didn't know that. Now, if you keep a large L on your back, not for loser. Someone else might put that on there. But if you put a large L on your back for learner, boy, you're going to go a long ways in this Christian lifestyle. Because you learn, I'm learning stuff all the time. So you think that after a certain point, I would have peaked it, right? They say, okay, yeah, same old, we know all that. It isn't that way. There's refreshing, and there's insight, and there's a journey. And I suspect that there's a journey for all of us, right till we feel his arms around us. And so we're just called to live our lives. Because here's the thing, are you ready for the next lesson? God's got all kinds of wonderful lessons for us. I'm not talking about hardships. I'm just talking about lessons. Say, that was a great lesson. I learned lots because of that. Get ready for the next lesson. You can't stay where you are. Say, Lord, I'm waiting for the next lesson. Why? Because line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, right? Gaining stuff, gaining insight, moving forward in praise, getting a greater understanding of the moving of the Spirit, an understanding of who Jesus is, and the work he's done for us. understanding the second, there's so many things to under, I don't mean just even head knowledge, but just insight in your life. This ought to be one of the great, there should be an openness about your life and my life that people say, you know, they're still learning. They haven't peaked. They're still excited about what God's doing on the earth. You know, they're not waiting for the Antichrist to come. They're living their life. So get ready. Are you ready for the next lesson? I am. I can honestly say that. Lord, I'm ready for the next lesson because I just love the lessons that you show me. The things that I say, wow, that was insightful. And it's powerful. It's very, very powerful. Well, then there is the forward look. Verse 12. He said, I follow after. I press on. Verse 14, I press towards the mark. I take hold. See, this isn't just a kind of a twiddling your thumbs waiting for the bus. This is an anticipation that I'm aggressively pursuing Jesus. I'm pressing in. That's what Paul was doing, pressing in. Press towards the mark. This life is a race to be run with relentless determination and commitment. You see, I don't take myself very seriously. If you know, most of you who know me know that to be true. There's enough things to laugh at and have fun with that I can hardly believe how good life is. But that's not what I'm about. I'm about the Lord and pressing into Him. I like everything else. I'm glad I'm glad the Lions won. Right? I'm glad for a lot of things. I'm glad for fun. I'm glad for frivolity. But that's not what I'm about. At least I hope that's not what I'm about. I want to be so relentless and so determined in the years ahead of my life that I'm just lapping up territory. I'm just gaining ground. Learning, being again taught by the Lord, seeing things you never saw before, right? Because we're pressed in. Let me ask you a question. Is there a relentless determination and commitment in your life that you are known? Boy, there's somebody. They are flat out. They are running that race. They're an inspiration to be around because they want to talk about the Lord. And they want to talk about how we can press in. And they're learning stuff and it's a great thing. Stretching out. Verse 13. I'm straining forward. Now imagine. I would say, well, there's not supposed to be any strain. No. Paul said, there's lots of strain. I'm straining forward. Not to get saved. Not to be born again. He already was that. He's pressing in. I'm stretching out because I see the finish line. I'm stretching out my life. Wow, what a picture. Straining forward. Are you doing that? Is that the desire in your heart? You get up in the morning and say, boy, I know why I'm going to have devotions. You're not having devotions because that's what you're supposed to have as Christians, devotions. You're having devotions because you're going to hear something or read something that's going to help you reach that finish line. You see, I don't want to be, drag screaming. I want an abundant entrance. Paul says, I pray for an abundant entrance. I want that. I don't want to sneak in the back door. I was praying with someone a little while ago, and they said, what's the minimum amount you have to do to stay in this thing? I said, I don't think that's the right question. What's the minimum amount you have to do? He said, I'm not into racing. I'm not into gaining. It's not a competition for me, as long as I get in there. As long as I get in that gate and close that door and I'm on the right side of the gate. That's the actual conversation. I said, I wonder boy, there's no straining here. There's no determination here. There's no stretching out there. They've already lost the race and their lifestyle. See, this was part of Paul's life. You only had to be with him for 5 minutes to know that what he was about. And may that be true of all of us here today. Stretching out, straining forward. So Paul had a philosophy that he interpreted into action, which became his lifestyle. Isn't that how it is? Philosophy into action into lifestyle. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to be known as a religious person. I've never found that to be. You know, people will say, oh, you're religious. I said, I feel bad. Does it show? Perhaps it does. I feel bad about that. Because anything I see about a religious lifestyle turns my stomach, actually. Oswald Chambers hated religion, and he hated religious people with an unbelievable passion. You read that Abandoned to God book, you say, boy, he had no time for religious people, Christian or otherwise. Baptist or Pentecost, it didn't matter. He was a man's man. Here was a guy that loved God and made a difference in his world. Made a difference in his world because of his lifestyle. And I can't get enough of that guy because of it. It makes me thirsty. So, in a world that is hostile and completely against the Lord Jesus, we can be motivated to live as resident aliens here on earth. That would be a good t-shirt. Resident aliens in Valley Full Gospel. Wasn't it? Meaning that we're from another citizenship, but we're here as alien residents. What are we doing? Infiltrating? Living our lives, hopefully in such a way, stretching out, pressing in, not coasting, not spiritually lazy, not showing up, you know, slip in, slip down, sleep, slip out. But everything about your life needs to be aggressive and exciting. There needs to be that backward look. There needs to be that inward look. There needs to be that past look. There needs to be a forward look in your life, knowing that the Lord is coming back. But no, even more than that, knowing that we will spend our life with him because we're already citizens of his kingdom. It's a powerful thing. And if we need an example, Paul gives one himself. Himself. I wonder if it's for you. I wonder how many people would say, I find your lifestyle quite interesting. You seem to really sparkle. You seem to have a smile that seems to come from the inside. It's not through your teeth. Right? It's coming from you. And haven't you, I know that many of you, because you've told me that somebody would say, are you religious or something? Because they didn't know what it was. They knew it wasn't, and you said, no, and yet they said, well, I don't know what it is, but I knew there was something different about you. Oh, that people, folks, if somebody ever says that, there is no greater compliment. And you say, Lord, thank you. If somebody saw you in my life, that my lifestyle, my Christian lifestyle, see, again, worlds in collision, right? The lifestyle of our world, people who are citizens of this world, but not of the next, see, this, it clashes. It has to clash. It ought to clash. But not in a negative way, in a very positive way. And as I pray for you this morning, I'm going to include myself because I'm really ready to go on this thing. It's time to, if we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to do it now. Don't plan on serving the Lord down the road. Say, you know, I'm going to kind of get my act together. So, no, today's the day. Today's the day you need to surrender your life to Jesus. It's the day. I can't say, well, down the, no, I don't take that attitude. I'm pressing in today. All that the Lord has, that's what I want. I want to be filled afresh again and again and again and again and again. I want my heart to please him. I want my attitudes to please him. I know they don't always, but that's my goal. And I want to know what your goal is. I wonder if you can look. See, I can see now as I go into the fall of this season that I'm going to be pressing in, stretching out. That forward look, because there's been a backward look and an inward look and the other looks that I've mentioned here today. But here's the thing. Would anybody say, could we say, I'd like you to imitate Marcel? Isn't that a great compliment? Say, why? Because his lifestyle will help you in your lifestyle. We're to model this thing. We're modeling this thing with each other. We want the young people to say, I'm going to serve God. Why? Because my mom and dad served the Lord, and because people in my church, they were really appealing. They were so full of love and care and genuineness. They had a lifestyle that I want to incorporate into my lifestyle. Wow. I know people. See, I've been around such a long time on some of these things. I don't blame people why they don't serve the Lord. Why? Because all the models they had were not a really great Christian lifestyle. They were just religious, 12 things we didn't do, but nothing that we did, right? Nothing that we did do. That we did something about our lives that was wonderfully. See, I guess what I'm saying is, as I wrap this up, is that there ought to be that, well, oh, crazy old Charlie. Crazy old Charlie the turtle. Don't understand what he's still going on about carpet and air conditioning and all that stuff. Because the rest of that turtle's life, you know, he's never going to quite recover. He's just going to say, well, I know, I can't find anyone else who ever had this experience. No, there wasn't any. I'd like to know what that turtle thought. That's a great illustration. Because that is your job. I'm now deputizing you. Your job is to explain to people who are citizens of this earth, your job is to explain what heaven is like and its lifestyle. That's your mandate. And Paul boldly said, my citizenship is in heaven. He declares it. But everyone else, it's not. And so tomorrow and today, you'll be rubbing shoulders with people that have Canadian citizenship, perhaps, but they don't have heavenly citizenship. And our job is to tell them what it's like. We may get laughed at. We may get people say, you know, you don't really believe that stuff. Yeah, we do. We really believe this stuff. And it's made a difference in our life. And why don't you come on over to our place and have coffee with us so we can talk about this more? Wow. See, can you see yourself being really used of God? Because there's something, because you've asked the Lord, you're not sitting still anymore. Now you're saying, Lord, I really want to be used of you. I'm pressing in. Right to the very end. Stand with me, please. Yeah, please. This is great. This is great. I'm grateful. There are people in my life that I enjoy immensely. I mean, living people, not just writers. Right? Because, you know, all the people in the books, they have great lives. But I have had people in my life, and still do, that I secretly like to be like them. When I was about 20, there was a couple in Winnipeg that Dave and Joyce Johnson, that to this day wouldn't think that they did much in my life, but they made an impact in my life. Their care and their concern and their lifestyle. I remember praying. How crazy a prayer is this? But I said, Lord, make me like Dave and Joyce Johnson. What? I don't know if I pray like that now, but that's what my heart said. I just see something about them that I hadn't ever seen before. And those kind of pictures have carried me for many years. So I'm not alone on this thing. We're journeying together so imperfectly, right? It's completely imperfect. And yet so important that we have a Christian lifestyle that explains to people who don't have the citizenship. They're born once, but they're not born twice. And our job, we need to pray about it. We need to ask, because the clock is ticking. Right? We say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Set me on fire. Fill me with love. And they made me live in such a way that there's going to be a lot of people thirsty. And so, Lord, here we are together. Lord, we thank you for the people here we get to journey and do life together with. And I pray, God, that these four looks would be prominent in our lives. I pray we'll inspire each other and stir each other. Not condemn each other, but to really lay hold of you. I ask you, Lord, to put your hand upon every person in this room this morning. If there's anybody here that doesn't know you, I pray today will be the day of surrender, where they say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and give me that citizenship that is in heaven. We thank you for your convicting power, Lord, here today. Draw, Lord, we pray, each of us to you. And Lord, for the rest of us, that we may know you, but we haven't been pressing in. I pray, God, oh, stir us, Lord, out of any religious mold, that we would be just free, break free. And I pray, Lord, that we'll laugh and have fun together and do great stuff together. But I pray, Lord, we'd be able to put our hands on one another and say, brother, I'm commissioning you. Sister, I'm commissioning you. Live for God. Let people see it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, cause us not to be arrogant, but anything that Christ has done in our hearts. Thank you. It's great to serve you, Lord. It's great to know you. And I can hardly wait how you're going to teach me this fall. And I too want to learn. And I pray, God, that all of us, that we just as we prepare for end of September, October, Lord, don't let us stay in the same place. Launch us forward. Give us a hunger to learn more, read, and be a part of a small group. Commit ourselves to Sunday morning so we hear lesson after lesson on how to live for God. We thank you and we praise you. And you, Lord, are so wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're glad that you're here this morning, and we invite you. I don't think it's raining or anything, so I invite you to come to the patio if you would. And if you happen to be walking by the library here, there's a new group of people in there that are trying to start a church. So if you happen to be walking by there, the second crowd we can't say that to, as we want them here. But shake their hands and tell them that you wish them well. So, okay, God bless you. See you on the patio.